Start. So this is the August 12, 2026 Chelan County Planning Commission meeting. And I see that we have enough commissioners for quorum. So let's proceed on to the agenda. First item is approving the meeting minutes from July 22nd. Are there any comments from the commissioners?
I would move to approve.
Okay.
Is Doug.
And I'll second them.
I just add one small Scrivener's error. It listed that the regularly scheduled next meeting, not our out of schedule one. I don't know that we need to adjust that. We're probably okay. Okay, so we have a motion that has been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye. Any against? Okay, good. That's approved. So let's move on to the next item, which is I see that there's members of the public attending, which is wonderful. If anybody on the call has any items that they would like to raise that are not already on the agenda, please state your full name and address, and you have 3 minutes to speak. Hearing none, let's proceed to the stated agenda.
Sherry,
Yes.
we have members in the room also.
Oh,
We
thank
have.
you. Was there anybody who wanted to? Okay.
This is a workshop, so I don't think
Yeah.
we can speak.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I just wanted to recognize you.
Oh,
Thank
thank
you.
excellent. So
Work.
the next item on the agenda is ZTA 26-191, ADUs and UGAs. Staff, will you please present?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Susan Redke with Community Development. I am actually going to veer off a moment if I can. What am I sharing? Oh, there it is. Okay. You have seen this before. It is a schedule for the comprehensive plan and the update schedule and the tentative hearing and workshop schedule. Sorry, I'm trying to be able to share my screen, but for some reason it don't get very. Would you please? Sorry. Anyway, I did send this as a handout. We sent it about 4:30 this afternoon so that you would have it. If you came in person, you have it in person. If not, it's here. So this is color-coded, and it does answer a question or a res there, wait. And I'm sorry, I'm blind as that. So trying to, oh gosh, just open it. Can we just open it? Oh, this. All right. So basically, I'm just gonna go off of what I've got here. I'm gonna turn this off, and if you could get that one up. Oh, there it is. Perfect. Okay. So we had talked about this adoption process for the conference plan periodic update. And one of the questions that was asked at last meeting was, what part of this is required by the state? What isn't? What do you have input into? And so I added a column required by state. And if you go down, you can just see which of the elements that we are looking at have to be done, and we've done the minimum to meet the requirements. And then what parts weren't required by the state and are just part of our comp plan update, but they're initiatives that were either citizen initiated or they were initiated by the county to add to our comprehensive plan. And then the color coding is, I did a workshop last week on the 4th with the Board of County Commissioners where we presented, and I say we, I mean me and all of the consultants, we presented the entire package to the Board of County Commissioners in a workshop format. So almost everything you see on here on this list, we spent 3 hours last week going over. So the Board of County Commissioners has workshopped the comp plan packet. And the reason, and then when I was talking to them, when we were talking about schedule of hearings and moving this through the process, they agreed, the Board of County Commissioners agreed that if we were to separate it into pieces, and then if the Planning Commission held a hearing, say on the purple chunk, that you can hear it, make a recommendation, and we would immediately schedule it for the Board of County Commissioners to hear at a public hearing and make a decision on. And so that's what this represents, is the proposed parts that would go together. We have workshopped almost everything. The things that we haven't are things like the Manson UGA plan, the Peshastin UGA plan, and the comprehensive plan maps. Those are required by the state, but absolutely no changes have been made to them. So it's up to your discretion whether you want to workshop them or just take them straight to hearing. And so that's why those are on there. So the first chunk would be, if the Planning Commission agreed to it, we'd like to have it on September 9th, and then we could get it to the Board of County Commissioners by the 20th, theoretically. And then the next group of plans would be the Stehekin Community Plan, the Climate Resiliency, the Parks and Rec, all of which you have or will see by the time September 23rd, which would be our regular meeting in September. We're workshopping the Stehekin Community Plan and actually all of the individual citizen-initiated comprehensive plan amendments at our regular meeting, as well as the hearing on the three zoning text amendments, two of which we've already workshopped. We're going to workshop the third tonight. And then the final section would be the transportation element, the roadway LOS level of service analysis, and the citizen initiated, the other, there's eight of them total, and you, we break those into two pieces, break those in half so that we would have a hearing on four of them at one session, and then the other four on the other session, because those might take a little bit more time. And then all of these zoning text amendments, two of which we workshopped already, one we're going to workshop tonight, we're hoping at the regular meeting at the end of this month on the 26th, we'll have the public hearing on that. And then the Stehekin Community Plan workshop, and then the citizen-initiated comprehensive plan amendment requests, all eight of those workshops at the regular meeting this month. So this is what the schedule looks like. It is not set in stone. None of these dates are required other than the regular dates that we've got. And so wanted to float this as so you can see where we're at, what we've got, and some possible hearing dates, but also so that you know, instead of Planning Commission holding all of their hearings and then having one recommendation go to the Board of County Commissioners and then they try to hold them all, we're going to tell the commissioners that agreed that as soon as the Planning Commission holds a hearing on it, will turn right around to get it scheduled for a Board of Commissioners hearing. And that way, theoretically, we could have everything heard through the Board of County Commissioners by November 3rd, which is a very, very, very ambitious schedule, and I don't think it's realistic, but this is our starting point. And so basically what we're asking of the Planning Commission is a special meeting in September on the 9th. Again, it's a Wednesday, listed at the regular time, and then another special meeting on October 14th in hopes of getting all of this through the process and adopted by the end of the year. And that's all I have on that. So questions, comments, concerns, suggestions?
Thanks for putting that together. That is really great clarity. And I agree that it's ambitious, but it gives us something to strive towards. One comment I would make is we definitely need this. One of the things we were asking for was for each element a short list of the provisions where the commission's recommendation can actually change the outcome, with everything else grouped as state-directed implementation. Right. The idea being that that can help us direct our focus on things where we can make a difference.
Right, and that's the required by the state column. And that it's either yes, it's required by the state, or no, it's not required by the state. And the no's are where you have an ability to provide input and make recommendations and initiate changes. Whereas if it was required by the state, we basically did the, we complied almost exactly with what the state required, and we didn't do any more or above or beyond. So where it was required by the state is pretty much that we did what they said to do, and that's it.
Okay.
So that was the intent of the required by the state.
Excellent. That's a lot simpler.
So do these have to be kept in the groups, the color coding groups that you currently have them in?
They do not. What I tried to do when I was doing this, if you'll notice, I tried to keep it so that there was only one no, but the kind of blush color ended up with two no's. I put the largest amount that had the most that were required, and we've already seen it, and we went through a lot of, we've already gone through most of this stuff, but they don't have to be. This was just, and then the peach color was all of the, except for the citizen initiated comp plan amendments, those were the ones that our Department of Natural Resources were responsible for, and so I kind of grouped those together because they're the ones that will be available for that. And then the yellow, the transportation and the roadway LOS, that's the Department of Public Works. So I kind of broke it down by department responsible for.
And that makes sense. That does make sense. And it kind of, and I can see you kind of did that with the, by keeping that with the hearing dates as well. So at least we don't have multiple departments trying to be here at the same time.
It's trying to be as efficient as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess from a discussion from our workshop standpoint, then we're covering all the remaining no's tonight, except for the Stehekin plan.
No, we're only covering the Malika UGA plan tonight. That's the only no. And then we're covering the zoning text amendment 26191 We're gonna workshop that text amendment.
Well, but like the Citizens Initiative CPA has tonight's date on it.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
It has tonight's date on it. The
I'm
CPA.
sorry, that was wrong.
Okay.
I messed that. That's going. You're getting. We're gonna go over that on the 20.
So all the other,
Okay.
so this then, okay, so the Malaga one is the only one that's going to be workshop tonight, and then the remaining three are going to be workshops at our next regular.
Yes, yeah, the community plan and the citizen-initiated comp plan amendments, of which there are eight. We're going to workshop those on the 26th.
So do you think
Gotcha.
we can have
Okay.
a public hearing the same day that we're workshopping the others?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to have a public hearing just on the zone text amendments,
Okay.
and we'll get those out of the way, and then we'll have a workshop on the rest.
Okay.
The hearing shouldn't take very long because you'll have seen all three of the amendments, and the one we workshopped about the staff housing, the supportive, transitional, emergency, and permanent supportive. I've made the changes. You'll see those changes incorporating that language, which the Board of County Commissioners supported. Including that language, that's in there. So it doesn't look any different than what you see.
Have you got any public input on those three? Okay.
But that's not surprising.
Okay.
And to be, I mean, bluntly speaking,
We don't have a choice.
we don't have a choice.
We
I
don't.
mean, we do have a choice. We could say we're not going to amend our local code, and then we will have to tell people, yes, it's allowed, and we have to go to state law to live with.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's much more convenient to do it this way
Yeah.
for staff versus, even though part of what you're going to see tonight is partially deferring to state law, but I'll explain more.
Okay.
So this is the tentative schedule. This is not cast in stone again. There's nothing other than just throwing some dates and numbers out for you to take a look at.
Yeah, I think getting the those three remaining no's up front, so that if we need to push them off into another meeting to continue discussing, we have the ability of time. Because the other yeses, we can either say we can't, it's not worth the effort, we just don't have the time.
Right.
So I think this is probably the best schedule we can really come up with at the moment. Anyone else have any thoughts on trying to adjust dates?
It's next week. I mean, when we have our meeting on the 26th, probably it won't be too late to change stuff. But I mean, you can decide whether you want to hold another special meeting in or hearings in November, September, and October.
I like the fact that we're not pushing it off towards the end of the year like we were and had to have double meetings during the holidays.
Well, and the other thing is the Board of County Commissioners will be competing with budget hearings.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the reasons why we kind of wanted to press it so that we have more opportunities in November and December if necessary.
I notice you don't have any of the cities. UGAs. Is that, do they go directly to the state and not us, or how does that work?
They are not changing any of their UGA boundaries. And so all of their, no, it doesn't come to us. We would adopt it.
So there at one time, there were parts of a city UGA that we did not accept as a county. Has that been changed? Did they all match exactly now? Do we need to look at those to
No.
see whether we still agree with it or we?
No. At this right now, the answer is no. I'm not going to say that won't change, but I'm going to say right now, no. We're not considering any of the city UGO stuff. Although that was a really good question.
One reason why I asked, I mean, it wasn't the one main one I was thinking of, but I had someone talk to me about the permitting procedure that they go through in the Chelan UGA. And they wanted to put a garage in on their property. They're not within city limits, but they're within the Chelan UGA. They were told that they could not build a garage unless it was built as an ADU.
I've not heard that.
I had never heard it either.
I've not heard. I will look in.
I mean, there were some strange requirements. Part of the problem was the ADU, the garage could be 1,800 square feet, but the ADU could only be 1,200 square feet. And so they are being required for the part of the garage to only put a 5-foot ceiling in so that it can't be turned into a 1800 ADU.
Can't put a 5-foot ceiling there.
I know.
Well, I mean, even by code, you have to have a usable, you can't create unusable space like that.
Well, they were considering storage. That's a, this is what they came away with after 9 months. And I'm just wondering if that's a city thing then, or is that.
Well, a building permit in the UGA gets processed through the county.
Even though it follows the city.
Right. And I have, there is absolutely no experience I've even heard of requiring an ADU. You can't, I don't,
I had never
jurisdiction.
heard it either. That's what I had
Yeah, a jurisdiction
told them. Right.
to build something if that's not what you want.
Is it in an HOA?
Nope.
That would be my only
Yeah, there's
guess.
got to be more than okay, that's all I've got for the schedule. I can move on to, I hope. So ZTA, well, okay, so this is gets a little confusing. So I'm going to kind of set the stage a little bit for this one. The state passed a law requiring that every county and city pass legislation that allows, not requires, but allows a homeowner to build two accessory dwelling units on a single family lot. They also passed another law that said counties may allow accessory dwelling units in the county with some pretty stout requirements. But it also says in that same legislation, if a county already has an ADU code or ADU regulations, they don't have to amend their regulations to meet these new requirements, which, again, they're much stouter than what we have right now. And they would require, anyway, I'm not getting into that because, so we have a code. We don't have to amend our accessory dwelling unit for outside of urban growth areas, but we do have to allow two accessory dwelling units within urban growth areas. And so, not wanting to update our accessory dwelling unit code, but somehow needing to allow for two accessory dwelling units within an urban growth area. The proposal is to amend just the Peshastin urban growth area, again, the district use chart, and the Manson district use chart by adding a footnote to the three single, or anywhere a single family residence is allowed, we have to allow up to two accessory dwelling units. So the footnote that got added to, or is proposed to be added to each of those, is that two ADUs are allowed. They refer to 1188, 200, 2 through 8 for dimensional requirements and height and floor area requirements and parking requirements. And then we have to refer them to the WAC for the other development things that we don't have in our code already. So it's kind of a jury-rigged way to address our standalone UGAs to allow two accessory dwelling units without amending our accessory dwelling unit code.
Do those WACs have all those increased requirements?
No.
Okay.
Those don't, because those are the WACs that only deal with urban growth area UGAs. The outside of UGAs is a separate section of code.
Okay, so it's the outside of the UGAs that have all those increased requirements.
Like, so for example, right now you can have an accessory dwelling unit in any code on any size of piece of property. Under the new code that we didn't want to have to adopt, you're required to, you can't build one if it's a non-conforming lot under an acre. You can't build an accessory dwelling. You have to, right now, we don't count accessory dwellings towards density. The new regulations, state regulations, say you have to. You have to count toward density. You have to have, like, if you wanted to build an APU and you had, you were in 2.5 acre zone, you'd have to have a 5 acre piece of property to be able to build. You have to use the same driveway. You have to have a separate water meter. You have to be 150 feet to the principal structure. So there's just the stuff that right now isn't in our code. And so we don't want to update our existing accessory dwelling unit code. So this was the fix, if you will, that met that preemptive requirement without touching 1188-200, because if we did amend it to allow this, then we would have to bring the whole accessory dwelling unit up to the current requirements. And that one is optional. The outside UGA is optional. And since we already have it, they don't mess with it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a little bit convoluted. However, it was what was best to not impact those accessory dwelling units outside of their programs.
That doesn't count as a change to the UGAs then?
This what?
That doesn't count as a change to those two UGAs then? I mean, we're not looking at, well, I don't know. I mean, we're not looking at either one of them because it says there's no changes.
It's not changing. This is the zoning code, not the comprehensive plans.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
These are not in the comprehensive plans. These are in the development regulations for Peshastin.
Okay.
And we can do development regulation adoption anytime. They're not mandated by the one time a year for comp. So that's what CTA 26191 is. We're going hearing on 26.
And if Malik is accepted as a UGA, the same code would be in
the
effect.
Develop, yes, Manson would be subject to, if they become a UGA, they will
Malik.
Be subject to, or, sorry, Malaga. If Malaga becomes a UGA, they will be subject to all of the development regulations that we're looking at this month and less. Because those are all, they're not just required, they're preemptive.
It's county code.
Yeah. So that's why that's the way it looks.
Will these changes have any impact on short-term rentals in terms of changing ratios?
When you say ratios, what do you mean?
I don't recall off the top of my head what the formula is, but in certain areas of the county, there are only so many short-term rentals allowed per housing stock.
Right, the cap? Yeah, I'm not sure how accessory dwelling units fits into that calculation. Because I know that there are STRs and accessory dwelling units now.
Considering that they're not counted towards currently counted towards density, I don't think that they would count, right?
I don't know, because I don't know that much about STRs.
It's a good question, though.
I would think that we would want the impact to be proportional to the impact of the additional residents.
Well, for this, for the 2 ADU thing, we really don't have a choice though, because it's mandated by the state. So we don't get a choice whether we allow it or not.
Right. But we our regulations regarding short-term rentals are something we as a county can determine.
Then we get to go through the whole short-term rental thing again.
Well, I hope not, but I would hope that by adding potentially so many more ADUs that we're not opening a huge unexpected impact.
I don't think so. There's so many other regulations in that code. Like for example, you can only have an STR and an ADU if it's your main residence. So that's extremely limiting in and of itself. I see your point, but I don't think it's going to be as dramatic of an impact.
But the caps are based on available housing.
But
it's a percentage, right?
Outside, that's a tier one.
Yeah.
And tier ones don't count towards the cap.
Yeah.
Correct. It's only tier two and tier three. So it may not impact it at all. Because if you have to live on the site to have an STR, it wouldn't count towards the cap anyway. To have an STR and an accessory dwelling.
Yeah.
So the cap is on the total housing stock. And so if we add ADUs, we're increasing the total housing stock. And so that would be then increasing the number of STRs to account for that greater housing stock.
Right, but my understanding is it's only tier two and tier three short-term rental types that are subject to the cap. If you have a short-term rental in an accessory dwelling unit, you have to live on site, and that's a tier one, And tier ones are not considered in the cap, is my understanding.
That's correct.
Right, but so the Leavenworth area is the area, one of the areas that is currently above the cap because the regulations were imposed after so many short-term rentals had started. And so if we in the Leavenworth area are allowing, for instance, in Plain, I suppose. Well, no, that would be
Sorry.
county level, but it would be increasing the housing stock. And so therefore, a new tier two or three that's been on the waiting list would be allowed.
Yes, but you're offsetting it by adding an ADU, and that number, that waiting list STR can only get off that waiting list once and the actual ADU is being built and not used for as an STR.
I'm sorry, can
So
you please repeat?
that I was saying, so you're correct that that would increase the number of total available STRs because the percentage and the number of housing units goes up. But every STR that becomes available is offset by an ADU that can't be an STR.
True. So it's
So,
proportional.
yes.
And also, the only thing is, we're talking about the standalone UGAs. We're talking about Pischefs and Manson, not the UGAs outside of Leavenworth or outside of Cashmere or anywhere else.
Right. Leavenworth and Wenatchee and
Chelan.
Gentia and Chelan have all already passed these, allowing two accessory dwelling units in their new GAs. Kashmir's the only holdouts. And if they don't pass it with their comp plan, then they'll have to start allowing them January 1, 2027.
So it wouldn't matter about anything that's outside of the UGAs because this won't affect the stuff outside of the UGAs, the two
Correct.
standalone UGAs.
Very narrowly focused on just Manson and Pischefs.
Is
Well,
this
as well, the future Malaga would
Yes.
be involved as well.
Yeah, assuming it gets approved, yes.
In Malaga, we only have two UGAs. I mean, 280, two short-term rentals. Sorry. I want eight. Yeah. Two short-term rentals, and they're both within Three Lakes. That would be within the Malaga UGA area.
Do you need a motion on this one?
No, there's no motions on anything. I just wanted to make sure that was the end of my presentation. Are we ready to move on?
You're ready.
Okay, here we go. Buckle up. Hey, I don't know if you heard, but Malaga is proposing to become an urban growth area, which we have gone over. Oh, okay. Oh, I moved it over for you. Sorry. Thank you. No, it's fine. I just didn't know where it was coming from and where it was going. And then slideshow from the beginning. Okay. There's a nice picture of Malaga. So, these are the components of the Malaga Urban Growth Area Plan. There's a memorandum from Anchor QVA, our consultant, and that memorandum, for now, is what constitutes the actual urban growth area plan. And then all of the attachments to that plan are the proposed urban growth area map, the Maligan vision plan that was generated by the citizens in the area back in 2017, the last go around the comp plan update. And there is a Maligan land capacity analysis, which looked at land area and availability for development. There is a wellhead protection from nitrate contamination memorandum, and that was prepared by an engineering company called RH3 on behalf of
RH2.
oh, I gave them an RH.
No, it's RH2.
On behalf of Maligo Water District and concern about their supply wells. And then there is the state law analysis regarding urban growth area criteria. And that was written back when GMA was actually adopted, originally written back when UGA was adopted, that basically said this is what an area should contain to be an urban growth area. And so our consultants broke that down and explained how Malaga met the criteria. They also included a case law memorandum that talked about previous cases having to do with urban growth area, and then soil mapping and employment forecasting findings. The soil mapping was important because right now Malaga relies all on on-site septic. Or large on-site septic systems. There's no sanitary sewer. So what the soil mapping was intended to do was look at what soils currently exist under Malaga and which ones are suitable for sanitary or for septic systems, which ones are better for filtration, etc. One, these are sort of the reasons why the proposal for a Malaga UGA plan came up. It's ex the Malaga Lambert, and when we're talking about Malaga, we're just talking about the part on the lower bench, not the entire Malaga Colophon area, which in the past has always kind of been lumped together. We're talking about that lower bench along that Malaga Outflow Highway and the river. So it's been experiencing pretty significant levels of growth, and that is both residential and industrial. A lot of things are starting to happen in Malaga. As I mentioned earlier, new development, and this is industrial as well as residential, and even commercial if it was being proposed, it has to rely on wells. And even if it's being provided by a public water system, the public water system is still primarily using well water or water supply and on-site sewer systems. So based on that memo, the area is already experiencing elevated nitrate levels in the underlying aquifer, which negatively affect the wells that rely on them for providing potable water. So it's sort of become a positive feedback cycle, meaning one thing is leading to another kind of a cascade of impacts, environmental. There is a noted lack of services within the community, and that's not just utilities, but also other types of facilities. There's a gas station, a post office, and a market for residents living within Malaga for any needs that they have. There has been a marked increase in traffic congestion on both the local roads and the Malaga Alcoa Highway as a result of this development. And so, in order to address some of these issues, urban public services would go a long way towards helping that, but those urban services can only be provided, like sanitary sewer can only be provided if it's within a urban growth area. There's also a limit to how much more commercial development could be put into place in the Malaga area to serve the local residents.
There's only one section that's commercial.
Yes. So there's things happening. Communities developing a park. The county bought some riverfront to develop a park. So there's going to be more things happening that will be drawing more people to the area. So to date, county staff has been working very closely with the Malaga-Tlalocco Community Council, which is a group of volunteers who hold regular meetings on a monthly basis to address issues within the Malaga-Tlalocco area. And so what we have been working with them on was to define the urban growth area boundaries. Identify land use designations, and they use the Peshavston UGA zones and development regulations tailored to the aspects of Malaga. So they used a template, but they tweaked it a bit so that it addressed what we heard from the Malaga community. And so right now it's resulted in final UGA boundaries, and by final, that just means the working product final, not this is set in stone and what we're moving forward with forever and ever. And then the land use designations that reflect the area's residents' vision for their community. Now, I want to just, there has been a subcommittee of the Malaga Community Council who has met, I don't know how many times, many times. The community council held two public meetings out in Malaga that were attended. I would say close to 100 people at each one. You know, they're pretty well, did a lot of outreach, did a lot of trying to gather different organizations and residents and what they wanted to see for their community. The county on May 21st held a Malaga community plan to or meeting to go over aspects of what the county or the county and the community, what the vision was, what we wanted to see, how we would come about and come together to build what the community. It's really been a community focus and community-based effort. So this is really what you as a commission are going to be looking at and focusing on. And so the recommendation that this body is making to the Board of County Commissioners needs to provide input on the boundaries of the urban growth area, the land use designations. There are some individual property requests that we want you to take a look at and debate and make a recommendation to the County Commissioners. And then any changes that you as a body see as maybe would enhance, benefit, be important to this effort. So this is, and you're not limited to these things. You can discuss any and all of it, but this is just sort of the focus of what really we see the Planning Commission role in this effort is. And so I just wanted to kind of give this to you as, you know, to help really zero in on what we're looking. So this is the original proposed boundaries of the urban growth area. This is what was taken out to the community. This is what we got input on. So the western boundary would be over here, and this is, again, I'm blind. Which road is that?
Where are you at?
Right over here at the far.
Far.
The orange, Highway
Our West End.
That's Mel.
That's
Mel Creek.
okay. And then this blue shaded was sort of a last addition, but this is part of it as well. And
That's
then it
Mount
would follow
Downey.
the dark purple or dark pink. And these boundaries, one of the guiding principles of this was to avoid any property zoned commercial ag. And then the purple V comes down around here. And sorry, these weren't to scale, so they're not very. And then it comes all the way down to where Ravenwing, that was right?
Yeah.
Ravenwing Ranch. Just north, it would end just north of Ravenwing Ranch. So this was the original boundary. This was what was put together based on conversations. This was what was taken into the community. Based on comments and recommended, based on community comments, the Malaga Calafate Community Council representing the citizens proposed these changes. And
The
so
subcommittee.
the subcommittee on behalf of the community, right?
Yes.
Yes. So it would be to eliminate the gray shaded areas. And that would include this optional, this piece that was up here, and then everything below West Malaga Road, except for over here. And then this R3 labeled piece, which I'll explain in a minute, is Microsoft property, and it was left out originally, and that split this property in half because it's a single piece of property. And so the recommendation was to pull the whole property into the urban growth area and then exclude this portion or this parcel between Raven Wing Ranch and shorten up
Industrial, the out.
out there to provide the buffer and then add the entire Microsoft. So this map doesn't show it, and that was my fault because I colored this map and I didn't do it. But this is the county-owned parcels proposed to be a public park, the county park. And right now it's still showing as public, but there is a request to change that. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because it was light green.
We'll talk. Okay. Okay, and then there were some other changes. So north of Searles Road was changing it to R1, which is a low density residential designation. Kawaki Road is here, I believe, and this parcel changed it to highway commercial. And then change some more, get to downtown commercial here and here. And then the Wenatchee School District parcels
That's the pink there.
this way,
Yeah.
this one, right? That's still P to residential. And then, yeah, so this was what was proposed.
The R3 part,
Oh,
that was changed to industrial,
yes,
commercial,
I see.
campus industrial.
So this was the recommendation of the community council. And then, okay, let me go back. Okay, so before I move on, so this represents the community input. And then we had some individual property owners who asked for their changes for their specific particular piece of property, and so I'm going to go over those right now. And so SDC Wenatchee One LLC is better known as the Sabey property, but the official property owner is SDC Wenatchee, and they own this. There's actually a number of parcels right here, and instead of residential, they have asked that their property be kept industrial, which is what it's zoned right now. Why are you shaking your head now?
It's commercial.
It's
Go ahead.
sorry, it's industrial, commercial. I don't know if you've received the letter yet.
Campus
We
industrial.
campus industrial. We
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
yeah, it was submitted. I just don't know if you received it yet, but we did submit to have
Okay.
it changed.
So in it's industrial right now. They would like it to be, well, the last comments I got asked for industrial. I know they're coming in with a request that it be campus industrial instead. Okay.
Jessica, I have a question.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's on my end or your end, but I'm just seeing your Windows, the File Explorer. I'm not seeing the map that you're pointing to.
You're just saying what?
Your Windows Explorer file folder showing the contents of your USB drive.
We're seeing the map.
Huh,
Yeah,
no.
it's the same for me, Jesse. I can't see the screen or the map
Let
that's being shared.
me end it. Let me go down here. So that's what you're seeing. And then this, so what I think you need to switch screens.
Share a different screen.
I think you probably shared an application versus a screen.
Can you see it now?
Negative.
Here, I'm gonna turn mine off so I'm not mouse battling with you.
It might be the sharing permissions on Zoom.
Show us permission.
The maps are all in the downloads that were sent.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
Okay.
I'm seeing the map on via the email, but it'd be nice to know what she's pointing to.
Yeah.
Stop sharing.
Okay.
And then go back to share.
I'm pretty squared away with being able to interpret maps from listening to it, at least.
Okay. Are you getting it now?
Yeah, we see your PowerPoint now.
Okay. Just sharing the wrong screen. So. All right. So, oh, I have to turn
Turn
the
that
power
off.
on. Technology, so awesome until it isn't. Okay. So here is the first individual property owner request. And again, SDC Wenatchee is commonly known as SAVY around these parts, so you'll hear it interchangeably. And this is the piece. This is where the store and the gas station is down in this area, so it's right up behind there. And it was an orchard, and then the orchard was taken out recently.
Well, it's a gravel pit. There was
Oh, it was a gravel.
gravel pit, yeah.
Why do people keep saying all the trees got torn down?
They did.
They did.
Yeah, we've
They
got a
planted
video.
the orchard in the gravel pits.
Okay, so it was an orchard, but in a gravel pit. Okay, so
So that's why it was
yeah,
industrial.
11.
That's the story of that piece. So this is the request was to keep their industrial designation and zoning. I know that there is a request in the works to actually designate that campus industrial rather than industrial. And then the next individual request was by the Chelan Douglas Port Authority. And this is their property up in here that's proposed to be designated industrial campus, but they also own this little piece that is a purple in between the pink that's right on the river. And then you've got this one that looks like it's under ordinary high water. That's also a parcel that the Port Authority owns, and they have asked that those be designated campus industrial to match the rest of their property. So I don't know if you can see it, and I don't know how to blow it up, but it's right where the cursor is. And then
That's right. You do see it.
John Port, who also he owns Real Homes, is the company, and he has requested that this property on the north side of Alkali Way, just up and behind the proposed downtown commercial zoning, he would like that to be designated industrial.
At our last meeting, at the Malaga Council meeting, John Port said he did not put that request in.
I found me.
Oh,
And the letter he sent by a snoop.
okay.
So I have
Thank
the letter.
you.
And yes, I did.
Okay.
I wasn't gonna misrepresent anybody.
Well, I just wanted it
Yes.
put out there
Came up
for.
when I met with the subcommittee.
Okay.
And then then Microsoft, and this actually, the Malaga Community Council also recommended that this parcel not be zoned or designated residential three, but campus industrial to match the rest of the property that they own. So I was thinking. Okay, so this is kind of what's on the table right now. I do, if you are looking for all of the, yeah, will you open up the one that's a PDF?
It's being removed or
yes,
you remove. Remove.
That was a recommendation from the committee.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man, no. Let's just stop
That's what I heard at the
there.
last council. So.
Okay. This you've seen before, and all I'm doing is I'm showing this so that you can, when you go onto our website to look for it, this is the memorandum. You want to keep scrolling? Or have I got the scroll? You got the scroll? I got the scroll. All right, so this is the memoranda. This is still the original boundaries with the original designation. And then one thing I do want to point out, this was a beginner map of just the boundaries, and it's supposed to be showing the existing zoning, but it doesn't. This zoning is not correct on this map. So you can use it for locational purposes only. There have been rezones that have occurred since this base map, and I didn't make the map, so I'm not certain where it came from. And so the vision statement is in as part of one of those attachments, and it talks about what the community would like to see, and this was 9 years ago. And then
Susan, would it be possible for you to share that with those who are online? We still see your PowerPoint for the zoning.
yes, sorry. Goodness, why does it have all these things? Okay, so this is just all part of that Malaga visioning plan. And then the land capacity analysis is actually also part of the comprehensive plan overall packet, but it looks at housing units, what is out there right now, what's been built. And it just does the basic, how much is available to be built out there. And then the RH2 technical memorandum. And just background information. It's not intended to point any fingers about how or why things are happening the way they're happening. It's just a report to explain what is going on out there.
Can I put on record that the RH2 stuff is only to do with the Malaga Water District now? It's Felix Water District.
It only has to do with Malaga Water District. And it's quite a long report. But this is just, I just wanted to give you a visual of what all of this looks like. So when you go looking for it on the website, it's Appendix D of the comprehensive plan periodic update, and I believe I sent this to all of you with your package,
Yes.
so you should have.
I did not have that.
So that basically just runs through what the Malaga comp plan is about, what the UGA comp plan or Malaga UGA plan is about, what's happening in Malaga. Again, back to that one slide. The focus for this is your recommendation will be based on UGA boundaries, whether you think it fits the criteria for a UGA, recommend whether it should be a UGA, whether the designations make sense. This is that soil mapping exercise of what's out there and how feasible it is for on-site systems. And so that makes up the bulk of the Malaga UGA plan, all of those things put together. We have sent it to the State Department of Commerce to start the 60-day review. We expect comments to, I mean, it's a huge document we sent them, so I expect it's going to take a while to get all of the comments back from them. But we submitted that, we uploaded it on July 20th. And they have 60 days to comment on it. I imagine there will be some responses we'll need to respond to, comments that we'll need to respond to based on what the Department of Commerce has to say about it. And we did it on July 20th because we just can't take action, like the Board of County Commissioners can't take action for 60 days from the time we submit it. So we wanted them to have time to get it reviewed, get it back to us, and so we have to make revisions based on Department of Commerce comments. We can get those done and get them through the process so we're not late. And that's the entirety of it. Any questions, comments?
Does the residential zones, are they basically mirroring the density that's already currently there?
No.
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 It,
There's some of them. Well, this zone through here
yeah.
is already our the R2 zone is real dense.
Oh, yeah, I can see
But the
that.
R1, there's a lot of open land through there. In the R1, the R3 down here below, just this next to West Malaga Road. That's a vacant lot. These up here are orchards right now,
Yeah.
but they're, I don't believe that's supposed to be
It,
green.
what's it I thought they were changing it back to R1.
Yeah, I believe so. Well, the majority of the property will be R1, because that's density
East.
that we'd rather have than the R2. R2 is already really dense,
Sure.
but
Oh, and I can kind of understand not wanting that R3 all the way back
yeah,
there.
yeah, the,
It's just from a utilities point
yeah,
of view,
this is
that
up on a hill.
yeah, it'd be a lot to get utilities up
They
to
have
that
utility.
portion.
They have water.
Well, I'm saying for an R3 density,
Yeah.
that's a big strain
Yeah.
all the way back there. But I do, what report was it? They were showing that Malaga was basically the only area left in the county where we could have any potential for more affordable housing.
Yeah.
Attainable housing, not affordable.
Obtainable.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, and in R1, they can put duplexes, correct?
No.
I thought they could in R1. Duplexes.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's
Okay.
the lots are a lot smaller. But down here, this is mostly, there's a lot of trailers through here and small lotted.
Yeah.
And there's already some duplexes down in there.
Okay.
And same along this road here, there's some duplexes in this area already. But the most of the R2 property that is showing has already been developed. The R1, there is a lot of open land.
Yeah, and that was kind of what my curiosity was, is it didn't seem like the areas that were most readily available to develop those attainable housing, it just didn't seem like the density was in the right places. But clearly you guys have already had many discussions on those. So if you guys are, well, I'm not gonna.
The community council, I can tell you, I'm not on the UGA committee, but they want to keep the rural atmosphere. And with the less density as possible, but they had to add some R2 and R3 in. So they chose the R2 in the area that's already real dense, small lots with single wide trailers on it and that type of stuff is off Baynard Road in that area. And there's also single family houses, but they're not the larger lots, they're smaller. The lots are like 12,000 square feet because it was before the
Little more.
Department of Health raised the size of the lots that were needed for septic tanks.
Yeah.
But they were trying to keep the rural feel. That's why they went with the chefs and UGA plan rather than the Manson one, because it was more rural feel, where Manson is more tourist feel in their plan. So
So, are you finding any organized opposition to what's been presented so far? Or does do most, is it moving along pretty smoothly?
I think that their final map, that we're not getting a lot of opposition. There was some, which they took out. I've heard that there's like one side of McIndownie Road wants to be in the UGA down here above the highway commercial that's by Stemelt Creek, where they've got there used to be a pot farm there, but not anymore because they're bringing the center out there for drug and alcohol center is being built out there now. There's lots, there's many of these lots that are open. They're for sale right now. This is all for sale right now. This is for sale right now. Along the river, there's stuff around West Malaga Road that's for sale. My understanding, the county wanted the riverfront that they had purchased. They had it originally as public lands, but they felt the county said that they would it would be more easier for them to change it from residential to a park than from public to a park. I don't know the reasoning behind that, but that's I can say that the reason that they mentioned for this area up around Hamlin Road, the little green across from the lake and next to the lake. The reason they wanted that taken out is this is a real bad intersection. It's almost a blind intersection. And they felt if more housing was built in there,
right now.
yeah, right in there, if there was more housing built in there, that it would be a dangerous
So this map
intersection
on the
there.
website is obsolete. This is being taken out. It's green here. So
This
it's
is
the gray.
proposed.
The gray is proposed.
Yeah, the website is what was sent to the state for their review. And that was the original, here it is, the proposal. And then based on input from the community, this is what the community is recommending as a change. But there hasn't been any decisions made like this is what we're moving forward with. It's just this is what the community has said this is what they would like to see.
All the blue area going out That is all Alcoa property, including the gray area that they're asking to be taken out. That's owned by Alcoa
And this
also.
is, I think this is Helion, right?
No.
No, oh no, Helion is right here. So this is actually owned by the PUD.
The PUD's,
Yeah, because the
yeah.
PUD is leasing these three parcels to Helion.
To the gray part where you left your cursor, that's being proposed to be taken out.
Yes. Perfect. But
So,
again,
yeah.
no decisions have been made on any of these maps. These are just what was originally proposed, what we got from the community, and then some individual property owner came.
I remember rightly, that gray area is zoned R20, the one right before Ravenswing. It's owned by Alcoa, but it's zoned R20.
I will take your word for it. Nice. Could be hard.
So, but Alcoa owns all that blue and then that one gray piece, except for a corner, which is owned by Chelan County, where they, when Antrim City dumps their sewage to dry, so drying beds.
It's RR5 is what it is
Is it
down there.
RR5?
Yep.
Okay.
It's actually a mix of 5 and just a little bit of it is 20.
Yeah. I just clicked on one piece and remembered the 20.
Exactly. That bigger parcel is a split zone. The Chelan County piece is zoned RR20. The
Okay.
Alcoa parcel is zoned R5, and the far west end of it, in that little chunk that heads down to the south, is R20. Yep. So there's about a quarter section, couple quarter. Oh, the west half of the southwest quarter, and then a little bit of the northwest quarter is R20.
That's really all I have on that.
Do you need anything from us? Just a recommendation or something?
Not today.
No.
This is just the workshop. So again, just to kind of end it with, these are the things that we would be looking for to be included in the recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. Boundaries on the UGA, the land, the proposed land use designations, individual property requests, and then anything that you think makes sense, makes more sense. So, yeah. And the only last piece of business then is the hearing schedule that we started out with. And this worked. Are you overboard?
Looks good to me.
I don't have any issues with it.
You what?
I don't have any issues with
Oh.
it.
Okay, so I think that's the agenda. Are there any other items people want to cover, or shall we end early?
I don't have it down.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Thanks for coming in for the extra session. We're now adjourned.
Thank you.